Hi, everyone. Welcome to the inaugural Happy Nipple Podcast. This is Lori Atkins. I am a registered nurse and IBCLC, which stands for International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, coming to you from Central Connecticut in the USA. I am so glad to welcome you to the Happy Nipple. It sounds like a great bar, doesn't it? I know, I keep thinking about that. It's not. It's my podcast, and I am eager to share all of my birthy people with you. I've been in the field for a long time, and I have so many people to talk to and share with the world. So here we go with our first interview and first podcast with doulas, massively lovely doulas that I work with in the Connecticut area. I bet you have great doulas where you live too, and we do talk about that with my interview with Lisa D'Souza and Caitlin G. I learn things every week, and I feel like, oh, I need to share this. So we're going to be offering every week that we do a podcast our nip tip of the week. I know, I'm having way too much fun with the nipple thing. But our nip tip of the week this week is something that I find myself saying often, and that is babies breastfeed with their whole face. And people look at me like, well, so what I mean by that is that if you think about the latch, the almighty latch, everyone worries about the latch. And until you breastfeed a baby, you don't really know what that means and how important it is. But latch is really not that complicated. And think about babies using all of their stuff to get milk out, not just their mouth, not just their tongue. They use their face. So if babies are sitting on the tip of a nipple, it usually, number one, hurts. Number two, they don't get as much milk out. So if they open wide and get that nipple deep in their mouth, then guess what? Their cheeks and their jaw hit the breast, and their tongue can do what it needs to do and massage underneath the areola. And the lips create a seal, and the baby breastfeeds with their face. The face is really pretty much jammed in there. Nose is elevated off safely. Don't worry about their nose, but babies breastfeed with their face, their jaw, their tongue, their lips. Everything is involved in getting milk out. So think about that when we talk about latch. That's a great introduction, and we'll have more discussion in more episodes as we go forward. But I wanted to bring up a thing that I've been saying a lot in the last 2 weeks or so, is that babies breastfeed with their whole face. So nip tip of the week. We'll come up with some fun music about that. Anyway, that's it on my end. I'm glad to meet you. I'm glad you're along for my journey. I hope you stick around and listen to our wise, wonderful doulas coming up next. Thanks for listening. And so we're going to say good morning, everybody. This is the inaugural Happy Nipple Podcast. And I keep saying the word excited. I said to my son, I'm like, I have to stop saying excited. And he said, well, it's because you are. So I am so excited to see your faces. This is Lisa D'Souza of Compass Wellness and Caitlin G of With Caitlin Well. What, Caitlin, how are we saying your business name?
Just With Caitlin. Nice with and Caitlin. Simple.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So ladies, give me a little intro about yourselves. I know so much about you, but I want the world to know a little bit more about you.
Can I go first, Caitlin?
Yes, go first. Of course you can.
You're on the top of my screen, friend. You go first.
Okay. So I own Compass Wellness Center, which is in New Britain, Connecticut. And we are kind of like a full service perinatal center. So everything that we offer is either catered towards expecting or new parents or infants and children. Quick little rundown of what we have in the office. We have lactation support. We have photography. We have a pediatric occupational therapist, a pediatric physical therapist, Reiki, postpartum doula, birth doula, 3 massage therapists, 2 of which specialize in prenatal and postpartum work. We have a chiropractor practice downstairs. We have a store called Bean Tree Baby that specializes in baby wearing and cloth diapers. And we teach classes. We have a community room that lots of different providers, both inside and outside of the building, use for teaching and workshops. I'm also a spinning babies parent educator. So I teach spinning babies classes. I'm an abdominal therapist now, which is also known as RVGO or mind abdominal work. And I'm a birth doula as well. So those are all the things we have at Compass.
Oh, that's all?
That's all we got.
It's just astonishing you have all those services under one roof. I love it. I love watching your business grow. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. We started off with three of us on one floor of the building, and then eventually we took over the whole building and grew. So it's been pretty awesome.
It's amazing. Caitlin, tell us a little bit about what you do.
So my name is Caitlin G of With Caitlin. I'm a licensed massage therapist and a lactation counselor, recently a postpartum nutrition coach, which I'm very excited about, and a pregnancy and postpartum doula. I have an office in New Britain and in Glastonbury. Actually, my New Britain office is inside Compass with Lisa, which has been really great to grow with and watching everyone come to the center over the past 3 years now, almost 4 years that I've been there.
3 years you've been with us, right?
Wow.
Well, Andrew's three, so it'll be three. Yeah. So I mean, I work a lot within Connecticut, but I travel around mostly in home work for postpartum support, helping new moms and families get off to a good start with sleep and education and questions and just having that peer support. That's me.
I'm so glad to have both of you here. I've admired you both and gotten massages from you both, just to be clear with the audience, because you both are amazing massage therapists. On top of all of this, I think that needs to be put out there. And I can't wait to pick your brain about how you feel about massage work and pregnancy and postpartum. So in kind of thinking about how to talk to you guys, there's so much I wanted to kind of ask, and then I wanted to kind of say, because I think I have mentioned in my work as a lactation consultant to my clients sometimes, and I really identify somebody who's really kind of, maybe the support system was there right after delivery and then everyone's going home, right? And so I kind of like, how are you? Oh, my partner's going back to work. And so I mentioned a postpartum doula, and some people have never even heard the word doula, right? So I've been blessed to be in the birthy circle for a long time. So I'm very familiar, but I'm thinking to myself, people who may be listening may not even know what that means. So why don't you want to tell, kind of give us an idea of what just the word doula means? And I know that there's a lot in there, but give it a shot, because I think people need to know.
So, I mean, I'll talk a little bit about birth doulas, and then Caitlin, if you want to talk about postpartum.
Perfect. Yes.
Works for me.
Yeah. So, you want to hear some birth stats?
Go ahead. I think that's will help people understand what you do and how important it is.
So this is from the Cochrane database, a study that was done in 2017. People who have a labor support person with them in addition to a partner have 39% decreased chance of having a cesarean.
Oh my God.
15% increased likelihood of a spontaneous vaginal birth. 10% decrease in the use of any type of pain medication, including epidural. 41 minutes on average shorter labor, which doesn't sound that significant, but we'll take it.
Oh my God, that sounds significant to me. Especially at the end.
Yeah. 38%, this one's kind of really interesting to me. 38% decrease in the baby's risk of a low 5-minute Apgar score.
Wow. I wonder, I have to kind of pull that apart and think about why, but it's probably all the birth interventions, right? Shorter pushing. Yeah.
31% decrease in the risk of the birthing parent feeling dissatisfied with their birth experience.
Wow.
So, you know, if you want to kind of generalize that, decrease birth trauma. So birth doulas, we support our clients through their pregnancy, we support them through the birth itself, and then we provide support postpartum. It's different than the actual in-home care that a postpartum doula does. Birth doulas typically do like one postpartum visit, and from there give resources to the areas that a set of parents may be struggling with. And that's a great time to suggest a postpartum doula. And then we provide continuous support through labor. And that looks really different client to client. For some people, I'm doing lots of hands-on work, hip squeezes, massage, you know, essential oils to help ground them, birth affirmations, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's more, support through word and position changes and breath work, things like that. Advocacy is a huge piece.
Yeah.
Depending on where somebody is birthing, sometimes I don't have to do any advocacy, which is nice when you're with someone who's birthing somewhere who already, you know, practices evidence-based care and includes the parents on decision-making, informed consent, all that good stuff. But not every place is like that. And so sometimes advocacy is a big piece of what I do, and giving those parents the voice that they need to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to discuss this before you just go ahead and do it.
Right. So a lot of people in my nurse history have said, well, doesn't the nurse do that work? And how about my partner? I need him or her or they to be right up front with me. And do you take the place of the partner? And so what do you say when people have that question that have no idea what you do?
Well, as far as the partner goes, I love working in a cohesive team type setting with a partner. And when things do go awry in a birth, quite often that expectant parent looks to their partner to be the one to know the right answer, or should we do this? Should we not? And they don't have a clue, even if they've read all the books, even if they've taken all the classes. They have a provider standing there saying, well, you have to do this. This is what's best. And, you know, they shouldn't have that pressure put on them to all of a sudden be an expert in this field. So, you know, your partner is an expert in you. You guys have a connection and a tie that I won't have with you.
Oh,
in
the short amount
of time we're going to work together.
Yeah,
I can't replace that piece. Mm. That partner is that rock and that emotional connection and that grounding force. But I am that middle ground between the providers and the couple to, you know, give you your options and provide support in a different way. Mm-hmm. Some people refer to doulas as like a Sherpa of childbirth. Like,
oh my God, you know, I love that. That's perfect. It's a guide.
It's a guide.
You can
go on a trip and get from point A to point B without any additional help. You'll get there. But who knows what kind of experience you're going to have. But if you hire an expert guide, you're not going to miss anything. You're going to see all the good things. That's kind of like what we are as doulas.
Absolutely supporting that family. But then there is the whole medical side of that. And where is this? Is this IV leaking? And what does this baby look like? And do I have all the things in the room that I need? Do I have the help that I need? Do I need to pee? There's so many things that are going on in the nurse's mind.
Are you guys understaffed that night?
Oh my God.
Are you running room to room?
Staffing now, from what I hear from my friends still working at the bedside, is just atrocious. I'm sure you guys can speak to that as well. I think we're all doing the best, but I don't know someday. So I think there's so many other things that the labor nurse is thinking about. And of course the family is at the center of that, but to have that person whose job is it to be the center for that family, meaning the doula, it changes things. It does, for sure. And in my experience, I didn't work with that many doulas at St. Francis, when I worked at Hartford Hospital. Doulas were kind of a rarity, and that was a long time ago. It was 15, you know, years ago. So it was different, but I'm really thrilled when I have a client come to me for lactation who's had doula support. And I can tell the difference sometimes with people. They just seem more educated, more sure of themselves. They feel like people are caring for them, because people will refer to me, and I feel like they've been kind of handed from one caregiver to another, and they feel that. They feel that support coming through. So I think it's a great team kind of a thing. And then we segue to our postpartum care, because, man, let me tell you, I would love to be able to just give every family I meet in my lactation care to a postpartum doula, because I never realized, having three kids of my own, I think I should have realized how important care is after baby comes, because it just can overwhelm a family.
Oh, most definitely. And I mean, I've birthed three kids myself, and each postpartum is different. And it's very much, I feel, based off of how much you can prepare, as much as you can prepare for an unpreparable thing, but also like how the birth experience went. You know, if things were traumatic, I mean, birth in itself is a natural trauma, but when you've got this other stuff that's on top of it, you carry that in postpartum. And now you feel like you got hit by a train. and you're trying to take care of this new thing that relies on you a whole lot, and a partner who is trying or not trying as much as they can. And so a lot of what I do as a postpartum doula is I kind of come in and support in whatever that looks like. For some people, that's mom needs to sleep the entire time I've been there because she has not had consistent sleep since before she had this baby. So, I mean, she'll sleep the entire time and I'll help and I will cuddle and snuggle that baby and help out with answering any lactation questions that I can answer. And I can also point them in the direction that they need for any support that I can't do. And a lot of people, I want to go back to that snuggling the baby. A lot of people think that that's all we do.
No, it's not.
And it's like, no, I snuggle the family. Like that's, you know.
That's adorable.
Adorable. That is adorable.
Like, I'm a family snuggler.
I need that in your tagline. I snuggle the family. I can see it.
Well, because I mean, honestly, babies, they wake up, they poop, they sleep, they eat. Like that's kind of their jam the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But a new set of parents, those first 6 weeks, they're trying to process what just happened. And that's a lot of what we talk about is what just happened.
Right.
Because it is so life changing. We have a lot of partners that I've noticed lately have never really been around babies. So kind okay. of just educating them on what this newborn care is and what does normal poop look like. And, you know, let's talk bottle shapes because there's 1.5 million different bottle choices out there nowadays. Okay. So we dive into that, you know, how do I use my breast pump? I mean, YouTube only shows you so much. So we dive into that. It's a lot of that nitty gritty stuff that like, you can't ask a Facebook mom's group.
And I think too, you find too that the questions, you don't know what you don't know, right? So
exactly.
It comes up after the baby's home and you're like, oh my God, there's a whole world of stuff I didn't even think to ask. So mm-hmm. I think that's one of the important parts is being able to manage those day-to-day questions as they come up that you didn't even know you needed to know.
Exactly.
Like you get those bottle packs, those four, whatever bottles in a box that come nowadays. And you think, oh, one of these has to work great. And then you're like, yeah, they're leaking or they don't work. My baby's chugging it and puking afterwards or whatever. And you're right. Normal poop. What is baby poop? And oh my God, I need to sleep. And I have other kids running around and other responsibilities. There's so many things. And you're starting to do meal prep stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like? I know you're excited. I am too.
I'm so excited about this. So this actually started for myself in my last pregnancy. And because food is always a thing postpartum, like you're either eating out or people are dropping off random things that you may or may not like. Yes. But you tell them you like it because it's a nice thing.
You don't want to turn away that cabbage soup and inside your
right? Exactly. So a lot of there's two things that I do. I either help out a family during their pregnancy, like towards the end, and we fill the freezer. Essentially, we meet ahead of time to kind of talk about what they're hoping for in their diet. Like some people really want to add fish into their diet, but they hate it. So we kind of talk about what that could look like. We hash into like how much work do they really want to do? Like, are they someone that can add, you know, this bag, and this bag and make a beautiful meal? Or do they want something that they can just throw in and really quick? Mm-hmm. So we talk about what that looks like. And then I give them a menu about a week later and they can either make edits as they want. If there's something like, yeah, this doesn't really sound good. And then I spend a whole day where I come in to their home and make all this wonderful food and set it up either in the fridge or the freezer. Matters how close you are to your due date. And the best part about all this is it's super nutrient dense, which we're way depleted postpartum. Just from all those months of growing a baby, most of us started off nutritionally depleted before we were even pregnant.
Yeah,
and now you're trying to recover postpartum. at a depleted state, and you might be trying to sustain another human life with your body still. So all of this is, the point is ease and recovery. And that's, you know, and we get to do it through food. Think about how much love and happiness comes when you think about your favorite meal.
Right.
And that's so huge. I shove as much love as I can into these meals.
Hey, Caitlin, I'm 3 years postpartum. Can I hire you?
24 years postpartum. I can hire you.
Honestly, I've had a couple of friends ask that, and I'm sure we can come up with like something special for the years postpartum.
Dual meal plan.
You know what I love about this is that, again, it's one of those things I don't think that families think about. They think, and I used to say, and I'll tell you what I still say, get your takeout, get your Grubhub, your food, whatever, get that list. It's okay. I say to people, it's okay. But in that, we know that it's so easy to get stuff that you maybe doesn't do that. And it's okay to do that. I'm not saying it's not, but wouldn't it nice to know to have that you have this bag of wonderfully ready to go food that you can throw in the crock pot, right? You do some crock pots. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let it cook all day. And you know that that's maybe not Taco Bell. I'm saying anything about bad about Taco Bell.
I mean, you can totally survive off of fast food.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you can. But you're going to feel so much different. Your recovery is going to be so much different based off of what you eat. That's like a cellular level thing.
Right.
So a lot of this fill the freezer stuff is like supplemental. So like, you're not going to shut down your neighbor's food, but you can have that with other stuff. And there's also...
I was just going to jump in and say, this is one component I really love about the home birth community and the midwives we have that do home birth in our state and probably other places as well, is that they talk more about nutrition than any hospital provider. And you could spend a whole hour at a prenatal talking about what is your first postpartum meal going to be? And they want it cooked, ready to go. You have a plan. There's no winging it. They want something high in protein, really healthy, really good for you, but something you love, you know? So like just that conversation alone is good to sort of spark that conversation with the clients of like, hey, you actually should think about what you're putting in your body when you're trying to heal from such a massive change and potentially breastfeeding, you know?
Oh, I think it's huge. And we'll go back to the baby poop. Not we're eating baby poop, but you're too worried about your baby poop to think about, oh, am I going to be able to have fish and brown rice and maybe some broccoli for dinner? I mean, it's nice to be, you know what I mean? You're so overwhelmed with what's happening that I love the idea. And the more I talk about it, the more I love it, of being able to have some thought to put into this. And I know that not everyone is going to be listening to us, is going to be listening from Connecticut to be able to get at these services. So maybe we'll come back and do a whole, look at Caitlin. She said, so .. Tell us more.
So because I've had a couple of people out of state reach out to me through my social media stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a virtual option actually. So we have that same conversation that we would have in home virtually. And then I send you a menu with some recipes and some good ideas and things to have on hand. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get the hands-on support of nutritional support. You get the plan though.
But the
list,
because that would be, who walks into the store and goes, I don't know, that looks good. It's green. I mean,
You get a menu, you get a couple of recipes, you get an ingredients list. It's not nearly as extensive as what I do for Fill the Freezer, but it's enough that you can hand it off to your mother-in-law when you come home.
I love that.
And she can cook you a bunch of stuff for the first week.
Somebody who says, how can I help? Because people do it all the time, right? Oh, what can I do for you?
Here's a recipe. This is how you could help. Could you make this for me?
Wow, that's amazing.
And love that. Yeah, so that I'm very excited to be doing, just because like you mentioned, getting people thinking about their food and their recovery with food, because that's the foundations for it all.
Right. So I like the idea that we're talking about virtual stuff, because look at what we're doing right now. And because the last 2 years of our lives have been kind of upside down and inside out. So I wanted to pick both of your brains today about how you feel pandemic stuff has changed what you're doing for families. And as we go forward, I mean, things change all the time. And now Lisa and I were talking before you jumped in, Caitlin, about the mask mandate in Connecticut. I should tell everyone that we're in Connecticut. In schools, it's kind of being optional and we're starting to move. But it's been so hard for parents having babies in the last 2 years. I know what I've heard from my clients, but tell me a little bit, Lisa, about what you've heard and what you've seen and how things have changed.
Yeah. So, you know, at the very beginning, I'm sort of grateful where I am, the places I like to practice. I actually only did Zoom virtual support twice during the pandemic.
Wow.
I've been fortunate enough to continue doing in-person just about the entire time. I do a lot of births at Manchester Memorial Hospital here in Connecticut, and luckily they have never pushed away the doulas that are on their registered list, which I'm on. So I'm really grateful for the places that fought for us, because I'm sure there was a lot of heavy influence to try and shut doulas out. So I'm really grateful to the places that realize we are a part of the birth team and not just a visitor, which a lot of other hospitals think of us as. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my doula friends who do a lot at Yale, you know, they moved to almost exclusively virtual for that first year. Which wow. I mean, us doing this literally, like I'm at home watching my client in labor at the hospital. I only did it twice. So it's probably why it never felt comfortable. I think it got to a place of feeling comfortable for the doulas that were doing it a lot. But I mean, even this is hard for me. Like, I want to be sitting in a room with you right now.
I think it's hard for all of us. I totally get that. We are we are those touchy feely birthy people on purpose. And so that is hard for us. I want to hug my clients and I'm elbow bumping everybody. And I'm like, ugh. I know. Yeah, I can't even imagine having to do all of that support that you do. That's such important support.
Virtually. You know, in the very beginning, there was, you know, it was so scary. There were so many unknowns.
Right.
I actually, a few months ago, connected with another massage therapist who is in the perinatal realm. And we got talking, and it turns out she was the very first pregnant woman to contract COVID in Connecticut.
Oh my.
She contracted COVID at 32 weeks. She lives down in Fairfield County and her husband worked in New York City and unknowingly brought it home.
Oh yes.
So she was in the hospital 32 weeks pregnant with her first baby with COVID. Everyone's in hazmat suits. And I mean, just, this was, let's see, March 17th was like the shutdown. I want to say this was like March 23rd.
So right as things were kind of, we're all realizing that our lives were changing.
Yeah. So husband wasn't allowed there. They wanted to do a C-section right then and there and then put her on a ventilator. And said, no, she was like, give me 12 hours. Let's see if I get better in 12 hours. Just give me 12 hours. So they did. And her O2 raised just enough that she avoided the ventilator and they decided to let her stay pregnant a little longer. But she ended up being able to be discharged 6 days later, went home.
With pregnant still?
Still pregnant.
Wow.
And then she developed preeclampsia, which I have another thought process on preeclampsia during COVID too. And so she ended up going in and having to be induced, no partner. And at that time, like, you know, they weren't even FaceTiming. Nobody was even like thinking like let's do that yet. Mm-hmm. So she was just in isolation with a bunch of strangers in white suits. And as soon as baby was born, went off to the NICU and she was separated. She met her son when he was 6 days old. She was COVID positive. And then when she finally got to meet her son and finally got to go home, she was told to wear a mask around her baby. So for the first 6 weeks, her and her husband wore masks in their own home with their baby because didn't know any better. So like that's the world we were living in 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago.
Wow, when you talk about trauma, holy mackerel.
That's a lot to work through.
Yeah, that is a lot to work through.
But even now, you know, some things haven't changed yet. If you test positive, your partner tests positive, your partner can't come be with you.
In the hospital? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah, depending on which hospital you're delivering at. Even here in Connecticut, it's different hospital to hospital. As of like today, you know, February 28th, 2022, It's still very varying, but if you test positive, depending on where you're going to deliver and you have going in labor, your partner may not be able to come.
How do you feel like families have weathered through this? What are you hearing from them?
Well, I have a lot of friends in the mental health field who are very overwhelmed with parents who are suffering with mental health. And, you know, that's always been a thing postpartum, but it has skyrocketed. Like, it's tough for me to find a good perinatal mental health counselor who has space to take on someone new. Like, we're fishing around trying to find someone who has a spot available to take this new mom who has dealt with great trauma. And that's scary. It's hard because in the past that wasn't an issue. It was like, oh, go see so-and-so. They're fabulous.
Right.
They've got space. It's not like that anymore. They're all so overwhelmed and so busy. Yeah. Which
that's
like
going to be another, we are going to be addressing that in another, definitely in another episode of the Happy Nipple for sure. That was going to be my first thing because I it's urgent and it's alarming how many families I find are just shell-shocked after going through what they've been through. And then postpartum, Caitlin, tell me a little bit about what you're finding for families, right? That's a whole other world that opens up. Oh, if grandparents aren't sick and how much are you masking and do we have the toddlers around the baby? And I know.
Yeah. So when the pandemic first hit, isolation, that was
everybody
like,
went down.
I mean, there's already a little bit of isolation that happens in postpartum anyways, because like you're home and not really going anywhere.
Right.
With the pandemic, it was, you're really not going anywhere and nobody's coming to you either. And it was, I mean, you've got two people that, as I just described earlier, went through this massive process and now they're sitting in a house by themselves. And this was before a lot of like virtual support groups were really started up. And even then, it's not the same as showing up to a support group after you just managed to get both of you out of the house dressed. Like, that's much different. So there was a lot of isolation. And actually, throughout the pandemic, our normal 1 and 5 to 7 for postpartum depression has increased to 1 to 3.
Are you talking about 1 to 3 parents or?
Yes.
Okay. So the one in three. All right. Okay.
Yes.
I get you.
Yeah. 1 in 3 birthing people.
Good way to put
Are dealing with postpartum depression right now, and that's stat doesn't wrap into like the partners that are also dealing with their own form of postpartum depression. So like one of my first tips with that is really to find your pod of people and, you know, some people that have similar protocols as you for how you're handling COVID and staying safe out in the world and things like that. And so you at least have people that you feel comfortable coming into your home. But it's definitely been hard. I will say though, that the good things that have come out of COVID,
I know
everyone's going to call me crazy. Store pickup, where they bring the stuff out to your car.
that can stay in place forever.
That can stay in place forever. But that has been a huge help postpartum, especially because mom can make an order and someone else could pick it up and just drop it off at her doorstep. Almost every single place has some form of delivery of food. So you can get, you know, that thing that you really like that you'd have to go and sit down for. So there are some little good things. There's more virtual options for support groups. Perinatal therapists are really hard to come by, especially ones that are like based in the state that used to have an in-person practice. There are some like virtual options, but that's still messy because then you're messing around with insurances and stuff like that. That's in things. I mean, I know right now we're dealing with a little bit of a formula restrictions because there was a huge recall.
Right. And so we're recording this. Let me just put that out there that we're recording this in February of 2022.
So they're, you know, sometimes just finding formula has been hard. So I have seen community pull through in that way of like, hey, I don't have anything. Does anyone near me have something? something.
I'm glad you brought up the good things, because yeah, we're kind of COVID. So
yeah,
I'm
COVID
glad you
stinks.
Did that, because I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, but you're right. There have been some good things to come.
Can I throw another good thing in there?
Yeah, please.
It's kind of a catch 22. So imagine this scenario pre-COVID where mom just had her baby 30 minutes ago and, you know, maybe just had sutures put in a tear and she's bleeding and all these crazy things are happening. And I'm just helping her latch the baby for the first time. And in walks her in-laws. And she's like, oh, I don't want my father-in-law to see me. You know, like the whole grandparents wanting to walk in the door the second you have this baby. And the partner saying, well, you know, my parents, I can't keep them from coming in. They want to see the baby right away. And so she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Oh my God, I have to say, for those families who don't want to be mean and tell the family to stay away and let them just have their time, the visitor restriction has been sort of nice in that capacity. Because now you have like a legit excuse, if you don't want to be honest, to say you can't come. And so seeing those early precious hours and moments be just those parents and that baby undisturbed has been beautiful. Now, on the other side of that, it's been awful to see parents who have kids at home who can't come see their sibling.
Oh.
And if for some reason they have an extended stay in the hospital or something, that's really rough. And that's hard. You know, when I had my son, my two girls came in like 90 minutes after he was born and they met their brother and it was wonderful. So I can't imagine not having had that opportunity. But for the family members that don't understand how crucial it is to stay away and wait until that family is ready and who just, you know, want to meet their grandbaby or, you know, it's not even necessarily grandparents. It could be aunts and uncles, whatever it is.
Anybody, yeah.
It's been really nice to sort of see that situation forced where those parents and that baby get to just bond and not worry about that.
I got to tell you, somebody who worked in the hospital at the bedside and got kind of, oh, could you come back later? As there's 15 people around this new mom and she's got, I have walked in the room and seen a mom with a Hooter hider. Do you know what those things are?
I've never heard like of that.
this plastic thing that kind of juts out from your head. And it's like a cover, a breastfeeding cover with this thing. And she's underneath this Hooter hider in the bed.
Find a nurse for the first time.
And I'm like, I'm walking in as their lactation consultant to the bedside. And I'm like, can I help you? And she's like, well, yeah. And you can tell she's just so uncomfortable. And no one's moving in the room. And so, you know, and as somebody who's helped somebody breastfeed in the bathroom, in the hospital, because the room was full of visitors, that really happened to me. I'm walking in the room and I'm like, hi, where's Mrs. Smith or whatever her name was? And they're like, well, she's in the bathroom. And I heard her say, could you come in? And I'm thinking, oh, she needs help in the bathroom, like postpartum. And I walk in and she is standing there in the bathroom trying to latch the baby. And I'm like, what is happening? And she said, oh, I have all these visitors. And I said, I'm going to clear out this room. And she said, oh, no, please don't. Aunt Lucy just came from Philadelphia. I don't want to upset her. I'm like, and that's a true story. So as I have heard the same thing, Lisa, for my clients who are thrilled that they don't have to worry about their wonderfully well-intentioned family, for family members who are hearing us, I do not want to upset you, but it sometimes reading the room is important and letting that family have time. And now you're right, this is a huge step in that direction. But the flip side is the parents, maybe the grandparents who are medically challenged and who really are being careful and maybe could have helped a little bit with COVID, or parents, I talk to families that are that have international family members who could not come into this country to help. I have lots of Indian clients who couldn't get parents to come to help them. And traditionally, culturally, for some Indian families and Pakistani families, it's a huge part of how their postpartum goes. And then they didn't have that help that they would have expected normally. So they were struggling. So yes, weighing back and forth and lots of milk for the most part, because moms are doing tons of skin to skin and parents are doing lots of one-on-one time with their infants and only focusing on feeding. And in the beginning of the pandemic, what I saw was not so much a lack of milk supply. And it was really interesting to me, like, why is that? Nobody's done a study that I know of. I could look, but, and I wonder if it's because they just had the focus on just feeding the baby and not all of the other distractions that come with that. Tell me how you talk to your clients about getting ready. Both of you can jump in about getting ready for baby and talk about that village.
I mean, talking about that village is also, you know, the pod that I brought up, you know, figuring out who could physically be in your village. But part of that is also thinking prenatally about who needs support wise. So a lot in birth doula work, you talk about how, you know, what are you going to need as far as like, you know, a chiropractor or a massage therapist or, you know, maybe a physical therapist during your pregnancy or immediately postpartum. But a lot of people don't think to write down like the IBCLC's number or how to, you know, we have the pediatrician's number, but do we have the on-call number? Like kind of those information. So pulling together like the virtual village as far as information, maybe a virtual postpartum support group, having that in hand, but also who in your pod can come. You may not need or want a postpartum doula, but at some point you might have a friend. So having, even if you don't use all of your village, you can always share it with someone else.
Oh, I like that point. That's a great point.
And you can always expand it. Lisa, I'm sure you can talk to this, and you too, Lori. Our referral network works more than any other marketing. And it's being able to have that continuity of care within that village at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That was like one of the things I actually wanted to talk about was that, you know, so your village can be your birth doula, your postpartum doula, pelvic floor PT. Hopefully, Lori, you're going to do something about that in the future because that's a really hot topic and so important. Yep. Lactation support, mental health support, and all these things are awesome to make the connections prenatally. You may be thinking like, I don't have any pelvic health concerns right now, but it's great to connect with a pelvic floor PT while you're pregnant, go in for an initial assessment. There's amazing information they can teach you that can help prepare you for childbirth,
right?
Good reduce point. Trauma to your pelvic floor. And I think that the referral piece is really important because in today's day and age, it's real easy to have a fabulous, amazing website and have a strong social media presence. But people have to realize that doesn't mean that that person is stellar at what they do. It's awesome when they're
stellar at marketing, but not necessarily stellar.
It's amazing when they're both, when they're incredible at what they do and they have the good marketing piece. But it's really important to not just go based off of a really fancy website or really cool content that's real easy to grab from other sources to put up on your social media, you know? So I think referrals are really important. Like if you are brand new to, you know, the pregnancy world in your local community, maybe you don't have a lot of friends that have had babies recently. You really don't know where to start. You know, joining like a good place to kind of start is you can join some Facebook mom groups, get some recommendations of where to start from. But once you make like that first connection to someone you really trust, maybe it's the doula, maybe it's the lactation consultant, and you know, you feel you trust them, you love them, you're excited to work with them, use them for your referral network to go get other sources.
That's a good point. I never thought of it like that. A lot of times moms will give each other referrals, but sometimes that person doesn't work for somebody who maybe they work for someone else or had the best experience. So I like that idea.
And I also want to add to as a, in a provider perspective, because I know that there's a lot of birth workers that are probably listening to this. Network as much as you can, because it benefits you as in referring, but it also benefits your clients that you're working with, because like Lisa just said, I mean, you can then have, here's A, B, C, and D, find the person that fits for you, that works for you, and given being able to provide that options as a provider yourself.
Do you find most doulas give you the option for, do you guys do like a meet and greet with people? How does that work?
When people do a consultation with me, one of my first questions is, have you already had interviews with other doulas or do you have any other interviews set up? And if they say no, I straight up tell them, do that, because either you have a gut feeling about me that meeting with other people is just going to reinforce, or you're going to find someone you connect with even better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I that's for any professional. Like if someone meets with an IBCLC and they try a treatment plan for a while and it's not working.
Oh, sure.
I mean, especially something like breastfeeding support, it varies so much source to source. And so you don't have to just accept the care as this is how it is. We all operate differently in all these different facets of support. So I think that's really important too, is people knowing like you don't have to stay with someone if it's not feeling like the right fit.
If it's not working for you. For your giving clients suggestions wherever they live, how do you tell them to find a doula?
So nationally, somewhere you can kind of start that's decent is doulamatch.net. I actually let my profile on there lapse and I need to update that. But what's nice about it is there are lots of testimonials on there. So after you work with a client and everything is said and done, you can send them a link and ask them if they'd like to write a testimonial for you. And honestly, there's actually not so good testimonials on there too. There's real honest feedback for people on there, but you can see what aspect of support are people raving about for that particular doula. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I've had people reach out to me and say, hey, I read your testimonials on that website and somebody talked about how wonderful you were with their VBAC and I'm hoping for a VBAC. So nice, connection. It's a good place to start. Like, I think that you're pretty safe to say that if you're thinking of hiring a doula and you find three or four through doulamatch.net and you interview them, you're going to have a good chance of meeting one that works well. Or if they're anything like me, sometimes I'll meet with a couple and I'll get a gut feeling that like they would be a really great match with so-and-so. And I will straight up tell them that. I'll say, you know what, you guys are lovely, but based on what your needs are, I actually think this particular doula would be even better for you.
Well, how cool is that? When does your plumber send you to another plumber? You're such a good match for me, Smith family.
Well, hey, listen, you know what? Like, you know, something you asked me, Lori, to think about for this podcast was what is one of your greatest challenges? And, in this job. And for me, it's my work, life, family balance and being away from my kids for those really long marathon births where I may be gone for 3 days and I need to love that family as much as they love me to make it worthwhile to be away from my family for those 3 days. So I don't want to encourage someone to hire me just because I want the income. I need to love you because I'm going to be away from my kids for a few days possibly with you. And it needs to be a two-way street. I'm almost interviewing my clients as much as they're interviewing me.
Wow. So it's a great point. Caitlin, what's your challenges and joys?
Similar to Lisa's. I mean, I have a bunch of kids and a business myself.
I got a bunch of kids. Last count, there may be seven. I don't know. Maybe six.
They're in there destroying the living room. There's just a bunch.
A bunch. I love that.
Like, if I'm gonna come snuggle your baby and be invited into your postpartum
family,
snuggle your family.
love that. Remember.
Then it needs to go both ways. Like, I understand, like, oh no, I just need the help is kind of what I hear lies. I just need the help. You know, they don't really ask any questions about me or anything. It's, I got your number, I need your help. And so I do the same thing. Okay, well, what's going on? What's your wants, wishes, needs, things like that? And I've handed off people to other, like this postpartum person, I think will be so much better. Whether it's closer experience or my schedule, I don't want to overspread myself because it's, I mean, like Lisa, I gotta love you as much as you love me. And I also want to feel like I can spend 4 hours with you at least and not dread being away from my kids for those 4 hours. I love what I do and I want to keep loving what I do. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is making boundaries.
I was just going to say that. You read my mind, making boundaries that work for you and work for that family too.
Mm-hmm.
And making roles exactly. Really clear. Sometimes that's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
I really struggle with the boundaries because I will say that I only want to take one or two doula clients per month. That's sort of my happy spot with how busy I am on my massage side of things as well. And as well as teaching, but often like a provider will get in touch and say, I have someone for you and I could just tell it's going to be a great connection. You should meet with them. And I'm like, I already have two that month. And I'm like, okay. And then sure enough, I meet them and I love them and I say yes. So that's something I struggle with.
And I think when you're part of a giving profession, and most professions are giving professions, but I think most people, when I say that, know what I mean. Usually in the medical profession, the birthing support arena, that's part of our nature. It's to never say no. And what does that do to us? And that's a whole nother podcast episode on provider burnout coming soon to you. But yeah, no, boundaries are really hard. We got to wrap up, but Lisa, I wanted you to tell me, tell people how to find you. And again, we'll have this written down somewhere with websites and such, but just give us an idea where people can send you a message.
Yeah. So my website is compasswc.com. And then you can, I don't do much with Instagram. I'm like a dinosaur, I swear. But on Facebook, it's Compass Wellness Center. I have two pages, Compass Wellness Center, and then Compass Massage and Doula. So
gotcha. So they can find you on Facebook and on the web. And I know you book online too, right?
Yeah.
For your massage, right?
For massage, actually, I'm not teaching any group spinning babies classes right now for parents, but I'm doing private, and they can book the classes right on the website too.
Right. And so, they can reach out for questions on Facebook. That's a good place to send them. Or on your website too, there's phone number, right?
Yep. There's phone. The phone number that's on the website is actually, you can text too. Everyone loves to text versus call. We all have phone phobias right now.
I know.
You can always text me or email me.
Sure. Great. Caitlin, how do people find you?
So my website is withcaitlin.com, and Caitlin is spelled K-A-I-T-L-I-N. I'm relatively active on Instagram at withcaitlin, pregnancy postpartum. And through the same at, you can find me through Facebook, which is not as popular, but it is there.
Yep.
You can contact me directly through the website. You can also book massage therapy sessions right through the website. Call or text works really well, especially postpartum. Like, let me know your name and shoot me a text and we can talk from there.
Great. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you. Could probably talk about another hour or so, right?
Congrats on popping your podcast chair.
Yes! Congratulations.
Not a virgin.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this is going to be a challenge because I could talk for hours. Mm-hmm. So thank God I have an executive producer's son who is going to wrangle my ass and tell me to tap it. But you know, he was so, when I was talking to him about it, he was telling me how to find people. I'm like, I don't have to find people. I have people. I just need to figure out how to do it, because what a wonderful community we have in this area to be able to share information and knowledge and support. And I think even if you don't live in Connecticut, I think it's something that we can extrapolate anywhere. That's why we can talk about local stuff, and then I want to expand it as we go. And I bet you that I will have both of you back at some point and we can chat some more, but I really appreciate it. It was really fun. Yay. And thank you. And so this will be up and you can link and all of those good things. We'll do all of those, social media thingies as we go along. But thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.